with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports. And I'm glad to have you along for the next hour. The match. You know, the match started out as Tiger and Phil, went to a bunch of other things. The match, Elk City, is happening today. 1 o'clock out at the Elk City Golf and Country Club. I can't wait to talk about that at the end of the show.
Okay.
We're going to tell you about that. NBA playoffs last night, the home teams dominated Game 5s. There's a couple of Game 5s tonight. One pivotal one in the Boston and Milwaukee series. Yesterday, the PGA Tour denied requests from players to play in the first LIV tournament. What does that mean? What's happening? Is that even possible? Is it even legal for them to do that? Fantasy football. Did you see the fantasy football bet payoff that had to do with golf?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see that? Let me tell everybody about that. Last night, the Angels had a rookie throw a no-hitter, and it was not the most amazing thing that happened in that game. I'll tell you what that is. Soccer semifinals last night, locally, a couple of teams with mixed results. Finals coming up this weekend. Wrap up the 4A Boys State Golf Tournament yesterday, and also a former Elk City and dominated in Class 3A. And I've got a note on the baseball game coming up tomorrow that you folks might want to know about that are planning on heading to Shawnee. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. You can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is download the Paragon Communications app. App has all things Paragon. 3 radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight at thepennynews.com. Print edition will start filtering out this evening into everywhere. You can check out that at your nearest Penny News location. Pick up a free copy of that Penny News this week. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. The Elks obviously on Big Elk TV tomorrow with the state baseball tournament up in Shawnee against Verdigris. Then the Skinny on Sports podcast also is available. If you miss the show entirely, you can go back, check us out on iTunes or KADSAM.com. Good morning, Jared. How are you?
How are you? I'm good. How are you doing?
Wonderful. I got all banned up, banded up.
You got banned from Facebook? What?
Banded. B-A-N-D. Banned.
Oh.
Oh, Compton was in a band concert last night.
Oh, I see.
Over at Sayre.
You got your music on.
Listen, I did appreciate the band director making it an intergalactic theme.
Oh, okay. I see where this is going.
And you know what that means.
A little Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Yes.
So the fifth grade band played kind of the theme to Star Wars. He directed with a lightsaber.
Oh, yes.
At one point. He came out with kind of a weird costume when they were playing.
The cantina band. Yes.
He came out in a weird outfit. It was an alien theme outfit. You could see, you know, the suit he had on. I was afraid his trousers were going to slip off.
Oh, dear.
Inside the outfit. Now it was fun though. It was it's amazing to see the difference between the fifth grade band and the high school band. And luckily enough, at Sayre, there's a big one, which means things are going well in the teaching process.
Good.
I really did appreciate, you know, every now and then a song that I've heard of and kind of enjoy through the 2 hours of the band concert last night. So what did you do?
Last night, I took it easy. Last night is basically my only night off of not doing anything. If it's no practice, no softball, no games to call. So I took it easy. I just did some stuff around the house. Had to take care of a 5-year-old who's, she got injured, and she's really milking this. She's really milking this injury that she has sustained. And seriously, though, she took a tumble and fractured her elbow. So she's in this splint, wrapped up splint, and it's every 10 seconds. Dad, Mom, Dad, Mom, Dad. So we're letting her milk it for a little bit, but say, hey, you can still walk. It's not your legs. Took it easy, really. Sounds weird because of what we have going on. I was following a lot of high school soccer last night because I was kind of trying to figure out what our weekend's going to look like. There's that. But that's about it. I actually had a hockey game on for a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to have to get more into the hockey.
We are.
As we move along. Because we've been watching some of it when we've all been together, which has been few and far between, obviously. Everyone's been here and there and everywhere spread thin. But that's something that I want to definitely yeah. discuss a little bit more about watching the hockey. Yesterday, let's wrap up the Class 4A Boys State Golf Tournament up at Bowling Springs. First off, man, I know I said this on the show a couple of times throughout this week already, but if you get a chance to go up there, go up there and play that golf course. It is phenomenal. It's amazing what they had done. I had said thousands of trees. I actually spoke to Jeff, the superintendent there. He said it's tens of thousands of trees, maybe even up to 100,000. Because, and this will make Kim Jordan's heart just happy as can be, over the last 30 years, they've had kind of an infestation of cedar trees.
Yeah.
And so the entirety of the start of the process to eradicate things was to chop down every cedar tree on that golf course. That's where they started.
Well, that's a safety thing too, right?
Absolutely. It's a burn thing. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
that's
a
what
fire
I meant.
Thing
it's a,
for
absolute,
sure.
It's a safety issue too, yeah.
And so that's where they started. And if you'd play there before, I mean, the difference in what you're looking at up there now versus what it was even 5 years ago is so amazing. You know, that was a place where you could see number one and number 18 because they're right next to each other. From 18, you could kind of see part of 17 fairway. Then, golly, thinking about everywhere else, you know, once you got down to like number 3 tee box, you could see number 15. It's because they were right beside each other, almost shared a tee box, really, in a lot of ways. You know, but they're just it was pretty secluded. And now the way they've cleared everything out of there, it opens up that property so much. And the sight lines are literally created by what they've done. And, you know, I was telling him, it's like, you know what this looks like? It looks like Northwest Oklahoma's version of Pinehurst. You know, you think about the renovations they made at Pinehurst to go back to how it was originally laid out. And you can see it's like kind of the fairway or the sand, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way it is up there at Bowling Springs. So kudos to those guys, to Jeff and his staff on putting on a heck of a tournament. The golf course was great. He said the only complaint he gets, he was getting a little bit was cart paths, and I can see why. There's places where they run out or they're sheared off and all that kind of thing. And so, you know, that's a thing that the expense could be immense, but that's one way to make that the better. And in a lot of ways, in my mind, I don't know that it makes it better just because of the way I would almost be more in favor of ripping them all out because of the way – just the setting of it, you know, and it feels like it's one of those where you just kind of, it's more natural to not have cart path. But anyway, so kudos to Bowling Springs for hosting that, and it was fantastic golf course wise. The play itself, yesterday the Elks shot their best round of the three, 349, with only four players. Baylor Golston, unfortunately, was unable to compete yesterday. He had to bow out toward the end of round two. With dehydration, I know he got IVs. He was planning on playing as late as Monday evening, leaving the golf course, and then he kind of vomited, and that was it. They sent him home, and just listen, it's not worth it, man. The reports I got yesterday was he was doing better. He was going to be good, but he wasn't able to play. The guys that did played well. Keaton Twyman shot his best round with a 108. Braden Duncan with a 97, I think, is what he shot yesterday, which was his best round of the week. Mason Schmidt played awesome. Stumbled at the end to a 76. That score was four or five higher than it really should have been. You know, he played. The quality of his play was akin to an even par round, not a five over one. But he kind of fell down there on the last three holes. And then Nathan Womack was fantastic from the start. He ends up shooting the best round of the tournament overall at 368. Vaults him up the leaderboard to a tie for second with Will Sides of Casha Hall. Drew Mabry from Hall & Hall was the champ, four shots better than those guys. He shot 213, which is level par for three rounds. Those other guys were four over through three at 217. But Nathan, a 68 yesterday, I just marvel at how much better he's gotten throughout his, you know, from where he started to where he is now. The confidence that he had walking around there, you could just see in him that he knew he belonged at the top of that leaderboard, and he played like it. So congrats to Nathan, and congrats to the team. You know, this was one of those years that you didn't know what you're gonna get with the team a year ago.
Right.
Graduating three seniors, one of which was the individual state champion. Another, Travis Poole, is an all-stater. And then Aiden Schmidt played really well all year long. He lost those three guys, replaced them with three that had never played in a high school golf tournament. You weren't sure. You knew what you had in Mason and Nathan, two solid players. You didn't know what you had on the other three. And for those guys to be able to get to the state tournament, experience it, Keaton and Braden, both freshmen. Baylor is a senior. He'll be the only one that's not back with. So the four guys that played yesterday, all back next year. And I think the experience that those guys gained, so the freshmen, Keaton and Braden, I think that the experience that they gained, and really even watching those two, they looked a lot more confident, even though their scores may not have reflected exactly how much more comfortable they looked. You know, just shaving off a couple of shots from their best round before yesterday, you could see that they kind of walking around there a little bit more like they belong too.
Yeah.
So that you know, that yesterday, this week, for in a lot of ways for the team, was about what's possible for next year. But those two guys at the top played exactly like you were hoping they would. Both finished top 10. With Nathan second and Mason seventh.
Well, that's very good. That's kind of what we alluded to yesterday. As far as team score is concerned, it's that's not the bigger picture. The bigger picture is getting that experience, getting that confidence, and returning. And kudos to the guys. That was such a stacked team last year, and obviously it was, because coming up second and having an individual state champ. But you know, there's a lot of pressure on those guys to kind of, you know, just to get back to state, and they did. And now they've set, good luck guys, because now you set the bar and now everyone's going to expect, hey, you guys coming back, we expect you to get back, and I don't doubt that they will, or that they won't. So I think they'll get there, and good job, good showing up there at Boiling Springs. You think he'll be back there next year?
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
That'd be nice if it was. There's,
I don't,
some familiarity there.
I don't know what they could have done better. Actually, I take that back. I didn't realize Kyle McLaughlin shot 67 yesterday. That wasn't on the board when we left. So Nathan didn't shoot the best round of the tournament. Anyway, whatever. I don't know what they could have done more. It seemed like everybody was complimentary of the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing that you could, when you look at the list of teams.
Kind of out of the way.
Right. You know, Pryor, Wagner.
Right.
Casha, Hall & Hall. But you know what else is out of the way? Tulsa, for us.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Coach Hunt yesterday, we were riding around, and he's like, man, those guys got a long drive. And he goes, who cares? Where have we been this year? You know, Gushing Grove for football.
Yeah, exactly.
All over the place, you know. Catoosa for track.
Yeah.
You know, and Sean and I were kind of joking, waiting around, because with what the score that Nathan shot at 68, you know, you could see, was it possible? Could he win this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, you know, the two guys that were ahead of him were playing together. It's like, you know, it wouldn't be all that out of the realm of possibility for those guys to slip up and shoot 73. You know, that's all it takes with the round he played yesterday. All it took was two over from Drew Mabry, and you could you know get caught up in playing each other and not the course, and then you give away shot or two here and there. That didn't happen. It did for Will Sides. He shot he shot 72 to fall back into that tie, but Mabry was too good. But anyway, as we were sitting there, you know, I kept on looking, thinking, man, we probably ought to go. And then I realized we're like an hour away. We're an hour away from home. Who cares?
Yeah, it's not a hard drive.
We can wait till the last dog dies in this deal and still get home by 5. Of course, we didn't. You know, we were also thinking, maybe 5:15. That way we don't have to feel like we're obligated to stop by the office or anything. but anyway, yeah, it was certainly nice for us. So we were talking about that, the closest that it's been in the state tournament since Elk City hosted it back in 2006. Everywhere else, I mean, you're hoping for the city, and you're getting Ardmore or, you know, Cushing or some of that. Mm. So, yeah, there was not a whole bunch of sympathy for the drive that some of those teams had to make. But for me, heck yeah. I don't know why it wouldn't be. If it's not 4A, it ought to be somebody that gets to go up there and experience that, because that golf course is fabulous. It really is. And they've done – man, they've done a great job getting that thing
turned around. Can't wait to go back. Now you got me wanting to go.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of trying to figure out when the Bobby Joe Cud was.
And that's in August.
Yeah, it's August 13th or something. It's a Friday. I think I have to do payroll that Thursday, so I'll be clear.
Okay.
Well, from what I can tell.
Maybe, I guess.
Sean was already asking.
If you don't mind if I tag along.
There's not a deal, though.
There's not an expo. There's not an expo.
I don't think so. I think there's just a golf tournament.
Okay.
Well. Which isn't that what everybody wants anyway? down in 3A, Ryder Cowan, former Elk Cityan, who's moved up to the Edmond area, goes to Oklahoma Christian Schools. Ryder is the 3A individual state champion. They played down at Lakeview in Ardmore. Ryder shot rounds of 70, 65, and 68. 203 total, 5 ahead of his teammate Brant Polehill, who finished at 5 behind Ryder. So, man, what a week that that Cowan has had, right? He won the Little Masters, Oklahoma State Junior Masters up at Southern Hills on Sunday, travels down to Ardmore and waxes the field there to become the 3A individual champion. Ryder's a junior this year at Oklahoma Christian School, already committed to play his college golf at OU. So congrats to Ryder. I know he's got tons of fans out here growing up in Elk City for the most part. And so he was he did what he had to do. He had a 3-shot lead yesterday, or 2 maybe. I think it was a 2-shot lead over his teammate. Yeah, it was, because he went up by 5. He had a 2-shot lead, and he did what he had to do. Shoot 68, and if somebody shoots, 63 to beat you, whatever. I guess that's what happens, but it didn't yesterday, so congratulations to Ryder Cowan on his individual state champion in class 3A.
That's exciting. Yeah, I was keeping an eye on that, too, and little shock that he came out on top, right?
No, I got no, absolutely not.
No.
I got sent a video, Sam Humphries, the 73rd hole podcast. They were down there, and I got sent a video of a shot Ryder hit on number 17, and I don't know how far it was. It inside of 100 yards, I'm guessing, just to kind of look at the way the video was, somewhere inside of 100. And there was a tree that looked like, I don't know, 60 foot tall. It was a huge oak tree, and the wind was howling left to right, and he just plopped it right up over the tree, landed on the front of the green, rolled down there to about 5 feet, made birdie. It's like, no big deal. You know, everybody else would be looking around like, okay,
hit like a
punch draw underneath the tree or whatever.
Yeah.
And he just took a nice soft swing, lifted it up over the tree, knocked it stiff, made birdie, and, you know, that was kind of cemented his state championship there yesterday. You mentioned that you were following some soccer. Both Clinton teams played. And tell us what happened.
Well, I was going back and forth. Not only that one, it's every 3A through 6A had semifinal games yesterday, so I was keeping an eye on all of them based because of our responsibilities probably coming up. But, yeah, I mainly watched the 4A boys. I started with 4A girls. They started at, I believe, 5:30, and they got down quickly 1-0 to Metro Christian, then 2-0. Clinton got it close between two, made it 2-1 in the second half. Metro got another goal and ended Clinton's season 3-1. But kudos to the Lady Reds. I mean, they started like without looking, I think like 3-1 on the year, and so it looked like it might be one of those years where you're just kind of taking a step back. But they regrouped and made a nice run at it. Got to the semifinals for like the 8th time in a row. So good showing right there by the Lady Reds. Now the boys, Clinton boys, took on Hilldale, and they got quickly up 2-0. Hilldale put one in the net in the second half. Clinton was able to hold on despite Hilldale's furious attempts. Man, a lot of shot on goals from what I could tell there at the end. And Clinton won that one 2-1. They're in the championship game again, and they will be defending it against Chickasha. They upset Holland Hall in a shootout, 1-0. Holland Hall was the only team this year to beat Clinton, so you got to think Clinton was kind of ecstatic about that result. So they get Chickasha, and there is a time on this one, Aaron. It looks like it will be Saturday at 4:30 at Taft Stadium in Oklahoma City, 4:30 in the afternoon, over there at Taft. So Clinton and Chickasha meeting back up. I thought Clinton and Chickasha were in the same district, but they were not.
No. I found that out.
I was looking back like, well, what happened when they played? They haven't played. Chickasha kind of going on this little Cinderella run. Didn't they go to a shootout against Elk?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. I don't know how they beat Harding Charter.
At no time in the 100 minutes of soccer that I watched Chickasha and Elk City play,
yeah,
at no time in those 100 minutes did I think to myself, I think Chickasha might win the state tournament. Sometimes, yet here they are.
Yeah, sometimes you get on a roll. Right? You can say that about every sport. Every sport, every level. Sometimes a school just gets on a roll. And that might be what Chickasha is doing.
So here they are. Chickasha 14-3 against Clinton 15-1. Clinton defending champs, right? Did you say that?
Yeah, they won it last year.
That's what I thought. And okay, so that's here, I'll tell you what.
I'm sorry, I might have got my teams mixed up. Harding Charter was the team that beat Clinton, not Holland Hall. My mistake. And that's in Harding Charter is a team that Chickasha defeated as well.
Yeah, that's
so Chickasha pretty hot right now. Clinton, the big dog, defending champs. Could be a fun matchup on Saturday afternoon.
Okay, so we have 3A through 6A girls and boys. Okay. In 3A girls, Victory Christian. This was a battle of a 17-1. Versus a 17-0 last night in the semifinals, and Victory Christian knocked off OCS 4-3. So the Lady Crusaders, or Conquerors, Lady Conquerors maybe. I think it's Conquerors. I'm pulling that out of the memory bank when Oak City played them in the state basketball tournament when Cade was a senior. So Victory, I think it's the Conquerors. Lady Conquerors will play Heritage Hall. Lady Chargers, 13-0, undefeated, knocked off Verdigris 3-0. So Victory Christian Heritage Hall is the 3A girls state title game. And the 4A girls, the only all-East title game. You mentioned Metro Christian beating Clinton 3-1. Holland Hall knocked off Woodward in Woodward last night 1-0. Look at me, nil.
Yeah, you got to go to that. There you go. Good job.
So Metro and Holland Hall will be the finals in 4A girls. 5A girls, Piedmont with the shutout of Collinsville, 3-0. And then the Battle of the Bishops. McGinnis and Kelly.
These two, you ever seen these two play football?
No.
Man, they're nasty. They're fans. They hold up some signs and stuff. I won't repeat it on air. They do. The Bishops, man, they don't.
I remember.
Like, wait a minute.
Listen. There was a lot of shots taken at the halls this week up at Woodward.
Oh yeah,
because of the public and private and all that. A lot of shots taken from the public schools, or just comments, you know, like, oh, of course we can't beat them because they can just do, you know. Sean's famous one is their school district is the world. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, but You got to give it up.
They own a golf course.
They're pretty funny, though, because I remember McGinnis in the big house. I can't remember if it was when we were there or if it was when Davis was here a few years later. But the chant, you know, we all know the go start the bus. Go start the bus. McGinnis's line was start your tractors.
I would have been proud.
That was funny.
I would have been proud about that.
So the Bishops, McGinnis beats Kelly. Tractors. Start your tractor. That was funny. All right, so you got
We grow your food.
Yeah. Yeah, that was their comeback. You wouldn't have bread without us.
Doesn't roll off the
tongue. It doesn't quite work. Piedmont and McGinnis will be the 5A girls final. And then in 6A girls, Deer Creek knocked off Broken Arrow. Hang on a minute. Let me – don't think I did the due diligence on the 4A. So it was Holland Hall, 17-1 over Woodward, 11-4. So that's probably expected, don't you think? And then as you mentioned, Clinton, 9-6 record, not as sterling as it normally is. Metro Christian, 15-1. Interestingly enough, District 4A3 in class in the 4A girls bracket, the teams that finished 1-2, and it looks like Holland Hall handed Metro their only loss of the year. That will be the final. So district mates playing in the finals in class 4A. In 5A, Collinsville and Piedmont's who we're looking for. Piedmont 14-5. Oh, we've got more district mates in the finals. As Piedmont and Bishop McGinnis in the same district. Looks like Bishop McGinnis handed Piedmont their only district loss. So that's the 5A final. The 6A final, I mentioned Deer Creek, 14-2 over Broken Arrow, who was 13-1. So that's a battle of the Titans that Deer Creek won 1-0. And then the other semifinal was Norman North over Union. Not a surprise, it doesn't look like. 16-2 Norman North beat 12-5 Union. So that's girls soccer finals. In the boys bracket, this would have probably been a fun one. In 3A, Crooked Oak knocked off Rejoice Christian. So there's a public over private.
Yeah. Crooked Oak's public?
Crooked Oak isn't public.
I think it sounds okay.
Sounds like a town to me.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
If anybody knows the answer to that, 225-9698. They beat Rejoice 3-2.
We don't want to Google it.
And then here's a couple of private schools. Heritage Hall beat Victory. So it's Crooked Oak and Heritage Hall in the 3A final. You mentioned Clinton and Chickasha, and so that's two public schools in 4A. In 5A, man, Santa Fe South. Almost thought this was a misprint. 6 goals in a soccer game. 6-0 over Tulsa Rogers. Santa Fe South 17-1.
Once upon a time, Santa Fe South was in 4A, and I think a lot of people are glad they moved up.
I think that's right. They will play Southeast. So 17-1 versus 14-2 in the 5A final on the boys' side.
And then who knew Southeast was good at soccer?
I
didn't know that.
Let's see.
They put a team in the state basketball tournament.
I did a state playoff second round or semifinals back in 2018 at CB Spiegel Stadium with the Elks and Southeast. And I think Southeast went on to play in the finals that year. So there another former, yeah, two former 4As up in 5A playing in the finals. So that's, Clinton and Chickasha are nodding their cap, thanking them for moving up. And then in 6A, yeah. Or maybe not Clinton, but Chickasha probably. Anyway, in 6A.
I think one time Clinton played Santa Fe South for a title over in Newcastle, and Santa Fe South won. If memory serves me right. I'm sure I know one Clinton listener. If I'm wrong, he lets me know. So
I actually think Crooked Oak is inner city OKC. What am I thinking of? I thought it was down there.
I felt like that was east side, northeast side.
I thought it was down in between the city and, say, Atoka. What am I thinking of?
Crooked
All right, Oak. Google it, Jared.
Crooked Oak.
Google it up.
Crooked Oak. Crooked Oak High School, says Oklahoma City.
Well, there you go.
God. We learned something today.
I think Trinity Johnson is actually the superintendent, former Elk City guy. Well, there you go. Interesting. Where was I? Oh, 6A. Mustang. Mustang is in the final. They beat Bixby 3-0. See, Bixby, you can't win everything. And then Norman North in the final as they beat Jinx 1-0. Jinx, you neither. No soup for you. So that is your soccer breakdown with the state championship games. Thursday and Friday, that's not exactly out yet. I did see what you saw on the records where Clinton and Chickasha kind of had that 4:30 game time at Taft. I wonder.
I got all the times here.
Oh, you do? Well, yep. Fire them off. Do you know where they're going to be?
Yep.
All right, fire.
I do. You're going to. I just wrote down schools. You're going to have to help me, the boys or girls. Victory Christian Heritage Hall.
That is 3A girls.
3A girls. I'm going to type that. They are at noon on Friday in Taft Stadium.
Okay.
Crooked Oak Heritage Hall.
That's 3A boys.
3A boys, clearly. They are at 5:30.
Also Taft.
Also Taft. Metro Christian Holland Hall.
That 4A girls.
4A girls. They are in Claremore at 6 p.m. or at Rogers State.
Friday or Saturday?
Friday.
Okay.
Santa Fe South at Santa Fe South versus Southeast. That is the 5A boys.
Mm-hmm.
They are at 8 p.m. Friday.
Taft. Okay.
Moving to Saturday, Deer Creek versus Norman North.
That'll be at Taft, surely.
Sure, yeah, but is that
6A girls.
6A girls at 10:30. So breakfast and football at 10:30 at Taft Stadium for the 6A girls title. Mustang versus Norman.
That's boys.
Boys, 6A boys. They are at 1:30.
Taft.
At Taft.
Okay.
Clinton Chickasha, as I mentioned, 4:30 at OKC, 4A boys. At Taft Stadium, and then Piedmont versus Bishop McGinnis. Girls?
Yep, 5A.
5A girls, 7:30 at Taft Stadium. There it is. Taft Stadium's going to be busy.
Okay. Yeah, 7 of the 8 at Taft. And then 1 at Claremore.
What if, well, I guess they would just take the Saturday schedule and apply it to Friday. Because the way they mapped it out, the OSSA, it said, if you looked at it, it said, all the games will be played at Taft. In the event of two East Side teams, they'll play it at Rogers State over in Claremore. There's only one instance of that. That was the 4A girls final. So I thought, man, they're going to have 8 games in 2 days. They're going to play 4 games a day. Well, clearly they can. 10:30, 1:30, 4:30, and 7:30. So they would have done that on Friday, too, I bet.
Yeah, just slip that game time in there.
Yeah.
Ah, Trinity Johnson's back at Piedmont. I got some bad information.
don't trust your sources.
Is bad information better than none? It's hard to tell.
That would be called fake news.
Here's the deal. If I would have never said that, then nobody would have been the wiser.
Yeah.
Thinking, man, look at there. All right, so that's soccer. Tennis coming up tomorrow, Friday and Saturday. I don't know if they've got those brackets yet. If it's been seeded. We'll look and find out. I'll have to effort that tennis at a later date. I don't know if they've... maybe so. Right here.
You got the latest tennis stuff?
I have... The boys' state seating meeting will be held at Heritage Hall High School on Thursday, May 12th at 6:30. So that won't be available until probably Friday sometime. So there you go. All right, last night in the NBA, a couple of game fives. The home teams were dominant in series tied 2-2. Miami 120-85 over Philly. Just a boat race from the start. I got out to a 31-19 lead after one, increased it to 15 going into the fourth quarter, and then outscored my Philly 39-19 in that fourth quarter. James Harden came back to what James Harden apparently is now. 5 of 13 with only 14 points. Joel Embiid, 7 of 12 with 17. But, you know, those guys played, they didn't play a whole bunch of minutes as that game got out of hand. So Miami leads 3-2, headed back to Philly on, let's see, that would be, what, Thursday for game 6. And then in Phoenix, Dallas did the same thing, or Phoenix did the same thing to Dallas. 110-80. Dallas got off to a better start than Philly did, but third quarter, Phoenix outscored them 33-14 to turn a 13-point halftime lead into 20-plus going into the fourth quarter. Devin Booker, 11 of 20. DeAndre Ayton, 9 of 13 with 28 and 20 respectively. Luka scored 28, but it took 23 shots to get there. So Phoenix also leads 3-2. Any surprises there? Because it seemed like Dallas and Philly had played so well in games 3 and 4 to get those series back knotted at 2. I don't know if, just for me, I don't know if the results as far as who won the games is surprising, but I am surprised that the closest game last night was a 30-point beatdown.
Yeah, nothing shocked me with what happened. I think, but I'm kind of with you, the Heat's dominance. But I did have this on my mind. You mentioned Harden. I had this on my mind. He was great in the game prior, and then he turned into, you know, back into what he is. I had this in my mind was, can he sustain that? Could, you know, everyone just, we've been talking about it almost for years now. When's Harden going to be that dominant player, you know, and all that stuff? And it, I don't know if he can sustain it anymore. Are we seeing an old Harden? Are we starting to see that kind of like Westbrook, you know, where he kind of turned that corner? You know, remember when everyone overreacted, Westbrook had a great game for the Lakers? Okay, now Westbrook's back. Now this is what they expected out of Westbrook. And almost that overreaction was mirrored in Philly when Harden had that game. Oh, okay, now he showed up. The beard is here. We got him. We're okay. And then he kind of went back to what he does. Is that the Harden we're going to have now? Is he on the same path as Westbrook is what I'm asking?
I think physically he's not even close to Westbrook. You know, I mean, when you look at what they're physically doing, I mean, Russell is way superior to that.
Sure.
And you know, it's funny. You brought him up. And when you look at what Russell did this year, stats-wise, it literally mirrors his career. Almost to a T. He actually shot the ball better than his career-wise by a half a percent. You know, he's never been a good three-point shooter. It's always been right at 30, and that's what it was this year. Free throw percentage was down, but that's been creeping down ever since they changed the rules. You know, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, he averaged 8. It's pretty amazing. You know, averages 23 for his career, almost 19 this year. Anyway, I think it's an old guy, though. I think you're right. We've seen this a ton in playoff series where the older players get, the less we see them be consistent. Mm-hmm. You know, there's peaks and valleys way more the older that the guys get, just because the recovery period between games is so much shorter. You know, a lot of times it's just one day. It's, you know, every other day playing. And so I think that's part of it, you know, that Harden hasn't been a guy that's been noted for taking care of his body necessarily in the offseason or even at night. You know, he's legendary for hanging out at the different establishments until well in the night. And that just catches up with you the older you get. Anybody knows, you know, just regular old people can tell you that. And so that may just be what it is. You know, there'll be bursts of brilliance when he feels good and kind of mediocrity when he doesn't. I'm still surprised, though, because it looked like Embiid coming back was kind of the difference, right, in making Philly competitive in this series and maybe even with a chance to win it versus what we saw last night. So, and there's always that home and away thing with the role players especially. You know, you look at Philly's bench, that's 6, 12, 18, 28, 32 shots taken. And they made 10 of 32. You know, and I promise you those numbers were well inflated above that. at home. And that's kind of one of the secrets to playoff basketball, is if you can get the role players to figure it out a little bit better on the road, then a lot of times that's when you're allowed to sneak that win out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That one game that you have to go, let's see, the game before they took 11 shots and made 7. So 7-11 at home, 10 of 32 on the road. That's just kind of the splits for those benches. So not surprised at who won, surprised at how dominant the teams that did win were. What do you think about tonight? Pivotal game 5 in Boston with Milwaukee and Boston. This series, it's been completely different games depending on who won. Boston's kind of choked the life out of Milwaukee twice defensively, and Milwaukee's got Giannis to be the man and get everybody involved twice when the Bucks have won. Back at Boston, huge game 5.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. I didn't have this series circled as the series that was going to be the most fun, most entertaining out of all the series. When you have Warriors and Grizzlies, you have the Suns and Dallas, and this one just seemed kind of, it's Milwaukee. It's who we expect. It's Celtics, but the way Celtics took down Brooklyn, Milwaukee, they clearly are still one of the best teams in the league. This could be one of those, I think you said, a pivotal games that could go towards who is going to eventually win this series. So it'd be huge if the Bucks can get one on the road here. Absolutely huge. Speaking of guys who just show up out of nowhere, how about Al Horford?
Well, and once again, an old guy. Older guy. Yeah, he'll have a great game, and then he'll have kind of a...
Right, right. Can he get back and do what he did? That's a game I'm definitely going to tune into. Couldn't tell you he's going to win, though. You got a feeling about it? Boston, a 5.5-point favorite at home, which is expected.
Hang on a minute. I'm trying to... God, these are all such old articles.
I know what you're doing. You heard a stat somewhere, and you're trying to find
it. That's exactly right. It's like, it seems like it's 87% of the time that it's time to...
That the Game 5 winner goes
game
on
Game 5
to win
winner
it.
Goes on, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
You're forcing the other team to win.
The last two. And especially...
Two, you just have to win one of the last two.
And one of the last two will be on your home court, no matter if you've got the home court or not. It doesn't make any difference. And yeah, I don't... Man, it's... The series has just been so completely different. That's always kind of the cliche thing of, in these series, every game is its own thing. Every game is its own entity. That really kind of has been the case in this series. Giannis has been Giannis, but it seems like in the losses that Milwaukee suffered, Boston's kind of made him try to do everything. And when I mean everything, I mean like score it too much, not get everybody involved. And, sometimes that works for him, though. But Boston defensively is just amazing as a team, and Giannis individually is just amazing. And if you're a Bucks fan and this doesn't go well to end the series – You'll be sitting there thinking, man, we were 2-2 with those guys without Middleton. We win the series easy if we got Chris Middleton, right?
Right.
That's not going to happen. You mentioned 5.5-point favorite for Boston. The matchup predictor on ESPN, their basketball power index, has Boston winning this game 83% of the time. That is crazy with the defending champs and Giannis involved in the game.
Yeah.
That stat, who knows? I mean, this series has literally gone back and forth. 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2. Nobody's won two games straight in the series yet, so Boston will try to do that tonight. The other one, do you think that Memphis can get this thing back to San Fran?
No. Not unless Morant is healthy, but I don't see it.
I really don't either.
It just seems way too much for them. I could see them putting a great effort here, but I think Warriors wrap it up.
It seems like we talked about their championship medal in winning game 4 coming back. This is also one of those signs of a championship team. When they have a chance to close you out, they step on your neck and break it.
We mentioned Elk City Golf and how big it was to get this far this season, right? Because it's going to pay off in the long run next year. I think that's kind of the same way with Memphis here. You know what I mean? They need to be in a series like this against a really good Warriors team and then come back next year. It reminds me a lot of when Oklahoma City took on the Lakers early in the glory days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eventually lost the series, but we saw what happened afterwards. So you're going to see a spirited effort from the Grizzlies. The fans are going to be crazy. But without Ja Morant at 100% or at all.
Yeah, it's got him listed as out.
I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Just don't see it. Outside of Steven Adams, I couldn't, without being reminded, I couldn't tell you who else is on that team.
Jaren Jackson.
Well, see, you had to remind me.
Let's see. PGA Tour denied the request from their players to play in that LIV Tour event over in London. I cannot wait to see what happens here. Is it the end of some of these guys on tour? Does that, if they're not tour, if they just say, okay, we're doing it anyway, tour suspends them? Can they play? How does that affect their status in the majors? Because, you know, the PGA Tour doesn't run the major championships. It's other golf entities, being either Augusta National, the USGA with the US Open, the PGA of America with the PGA Championship, and, of course, the RNA over across the pond for the British Open. I think the limited schedule has got to be enticing to these guys. Only 8 events, and you can make the money that they're going to be able to make. You've seen Sergio, Lee Westwood, some guys like that, kind of toward the twilight of their careers, maybe looking for the easy payday, big easy payday. That's got to be enticing to guys like that. Is it younger guys that are kind of struggling around that might be able to get into one of these and you know, change their life monetarily? I don't know. I'm so fascinated by what happens here and what are the ramifications of it, because, you know, the PGA Tour denying these requests, I don't know if that stands up in a court of law, because it seems like to me these guys are independent contractors.
Yeah.
And so how can you hold them, you know, unless they're signing some kind of contract and agreement, you know? How does that work? I don't know that you can hold them hostage. But on the other side of the PGA Tour,
I'll tell you this.
They're saying they're membership. So if you're a member, maybe that has some standing.
Yeah, I see that. But as far as them being denied and not holding up, I absolutely, was there a non-compete clause in their contract?
Exactly. Is there a contract? I mean, that's the whole thing. Is there even a contract?
And when I say non-compete clauses, every lawyer in the world would laugh at you and say those never hold up.
Well, and so what's the difference between this and granting requests to those guys? Do they even require requests to go play in, say, the Irish Open the week before the British Open?
Right.
You know, how does that, what's the difference there? Is it just because these guys are taking you on, quote unquote, versus you're kind of in, you know, you're kind of in lock and step with the European
tour?
It's
a flex of muscles. It's I think what they're trying to do, just a flex of power, just trying to say, well, you want to go over there to what has turned into our number one rivals and competitors, and we're going to flex our muscles and we'll see.
Try to keep you there.
Yeah, see who blinks first.
That's going to be very, very interesting to me. Okay, I mentioned the fantasy football bet. This is fascinating. This is a great idea. I mean, a great idea. Whoever came up with this. So the fantasy football league these guys had, the guy that got last had to compete in U.S. Open local qualifying.
Okay. He had to go play golf. What's so bad about that?
He had to go play golf. Oh, here's what's so bad about it. He fired 112, and the poor guys that were actually in his group actually competing to try to make it to the U.S. Open, that had to be a bit of a
– kind of an embarrassment.
A bit of a downer, probably, thinking, what is this? But just thinking about our fantasy football league, I mean, 112, that's like chopped liver, bro. If we can do way worse than that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We could surely, depending on how the chips fell – find somebody to shoot in the 150s or so, right?
You're looking right at them. Yeah.
And I don't even know if you're the worst
but
one.
But here's the deal. I admittedly play bad golf, but I like playing and having fun because I go out with friends and ride around a golf cart. This guy had to walk it all, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably not used to walking 18. No. Or how many did he play out? Four rounds?
No, he's played 18.
Just 18, okay.
Yeah, the local is 18. The sectional, which obviously he had zero chance to make, is 54.
I'd love to know if the other guys who were paired with him knew what the situation was. So they were mad.
They were pissed as it was happening. And then as they got to – as they figured out the story, I saw the one guy that kind of tweeted out, an embarrassment. But then once I found out the story, it was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool story anyway. Now, I don't think that made him any less upset about what happened, but at least he could kind of see the coolness of the story.
I guess I'm confused. So can anybody just enter these things?
Here's how they got around. They got around the handicap index minimum or maximum by applying him as a pro. So since they applied to the USGA with this guy as a pro, the handicap max went out. Yeah, you're supposed to have a USG handicap mm-hmm. of 1.4 or better
okay.
to be able to compete, but that's just as amateurs.
Okay.
They don't care about what the pros so they signed him up as a pro to avoid that conflict. Genius. These boys thought about it. Got to give them credit for that. 112.
Wow, I think there's some other punishments I would take.
That would be. That.
I mean, I would be like, oh my goodness.
See, that would be a fun one for me. Like, I might try to lose fantasy football.
Yes.
But then that takes away the funness of it to see one of you guys struggle. All right. So the Angels rookie threw that no hitter. But did you see what else happened?
No.
So the Rays brought in kind of every now and then when the game gets out of hand, they'll bring in a position player to pitch.
Yeah.
So that happened, and Anthony Rendon.
Oh, really?
Who is not – no. He was hitting.
Oh, okay.
Anthony Rendon is not a switch hitter. He is a right-handed hitter. He turned around from the left side and hit a home run.
That is just awesome. That adds to legendary
he
status.
He turned around and hit a bomb left-handed. He is not a switch – I heard the call this morning. They're like, oh, the announcer's like, oh, all of a sudden Anthony Rendon's a switch hitter. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Bam, home run.
Wow.
Put that one in the file of that's why you're not in the bigs
is. Exactly. Ha. Hey, another note. NHL last night, all four games were tied at 2 apiece. So, Matt, that's why they were good last night.
All four series?
Series, I'm sorry. Yes, okay. All four series. But, they were tied at 2 apiece. Now, tonight, not so much. I think there's a 3-1 in there. But, we mentioned game sevens and how fun those are. Yeah, Pitt, Penguins lead the Rangers 3-1. But the other two are 2-2.
Yeah, we might get a bunch of game sevens.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Okay, so I mentioned the match Elk City style.
Yeah, what's going on there?
So, Rick Rex, if you don't know, Rick Rex and Mike Wilson. Mike is the defending club champion from last year. Rick Rex he's got to be 80, but he is in great shape. He's a California liberal. Let's just call him what he is. He's in great shape, probably because he eats nothing but nuts and berries and swims laps after laps in his pool in his backyard.
And plays a lot of golf.
When the frogs aren't in it. And then plays a lot of golf. As I mentioned, Mike is the defending club champion. So they're going to play. I think Rick gets the red tees because of his age. And that's going to be a giant advantage for that team because Rick, even at 80-whatever years old, can still hit it. I'm going to guess 220 to 250 maybe. So from the red tees, that gives you an idea. You hit a 200-yard drive from the red tees, you're well inside 100 on about every hole here at Elk City Golf and Country Club. And with the club champ, wedges and putting, I mean, that's a tough ask. So those two are going to play Diamond Dave, David Dyson, and Quint Nichols. This afternoon, 1 o'clock.
Oh, man. A lot of trash talking already?
Rick, I'm going to tell you, Rick can talk trash. Or he used to be able to. He's getting older. I don't know how sharp his mind is with the trash talk at the moment. Mike's kind of a nice guy. I don't know how – he's got a little needle in him, but not a ton. Dave, he'll do it, and Quint will.
Yeah.
Quince needle is so pointy and long.
So are we going to get a full report on this tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I can't. I wish I'd have mentioned it earlier. I might have got a phone call from one of those guys. But I think this match comes down to if Rick can drive it like he should, you know, and doesn't put too much pressure on himself to be the, you know, the guy to drive it. And then how much peach aim and juice that Quint knocks down before the thing starts. That's where I'm at on the you know, that's kind of where I'm at on who will win this thing. But 1 o'clock, if you got nothing else to do and you want to go be entertained, we could probably mic this thing up, but we probably wouldn't be able to air much of it.
No.
By the time it's all said and done. But no, good natured. Well, you got to start out good natured. Hopefully it's a fierce battle to the end. But Rick and Mike taking on Q and Double D this afternoon at 1 o'clock. I wonder if this has generated enough interest in the noon older crowd group that plays at golf every day. I wonder if this match has generated enough interest for them to take a day off from playing golf and to watch, or if they don't really care and they're still going to play golf. That'll
I just
be,
keep seeing the scene in kind of the new, Caddyshack where the word spread on the course.
Yes,
this,
and everybody comes running
to it. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. That's kind of the needle to me on how much interest this match has drawn. Will the docs and all those guys give up a round of golf to watch, or will they just go, yeah, it's really cute, guys, but still play their round of golf?
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll have a report on that tomorrow. We also ought to know everybody, the times and the locales of all the soccer games tomorrow, I would think, if it's not already out there. Oh, you already did that. Never mind.
Yeah, it's out there.
It's already out there.
It's out there. Clinton 4th, the only one of local interest, Clinton 4:30 Saturday Taft
afternoon.
Stadium.
Okay. Everybody have a great day. We will be back tomorrow. Jared will be on the ropes.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered around.